Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Now we've got a short clip that I want to show you, and this is a gentleman by the name of Frank Medrano. Some of you might have seen Frank Medrano at some point, but he is a calisthenics workout master, basically, pretty much, which basically means he does bodyweight training, bars, and so forth. Let's have a look at that very quickly. Quite crazy, hey? For any of you that have never tried that, just go to gym and try that for a moment and you'll realize how crazy it actually is. And it's quite something when you look at people like that, fit and strong and healthy. We admire and we gasp the number of push-ups and the number of pull-ups and how you think the video is in slow-mo, but actually he's just walking in slow-mo up there with this core. And it's something, we admire something about healthy, fit people. But beyond the physique and the look of that, it's actually a health thing where you're functioning at your optimum when you're healthy like that. And God wants us to be healthy so that we can function at our optimum. The Bible tells us in 3 John 1, 2, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you even as your soul is getting along well." So God wants us to have good health because good health means we can live longer, we can live out our purpose, we can function better in a marriage, in our relationships, in society, and so our health is vitally important. You know, if you've ever, or if you're into soccer at all, and every season during the off season, they have transfers and players go from club to club to club to club, back and forth for high sums of money. But they always say this on like Sky Sports News or what have you. They say, so-and-so has almost completed his transfer. They're just waiting on the medical. And the fee can be agreed. The agent's fee can be agreed. The clubs can agree on everything. But if the medical fails, everything else becomes null and void because of the medical. You know, in our lives, sometimes we relegate the medical of our lives, the health of our lives, to a corner. If I can just be spiritually full and when I'm in church, I can just worship. But everything often hinges on the medical. Because if we're sick, we can't even get to church sometimes. And if the enemy can get us to a place where we can't even get into church, he will be achieving his goal. God wants us to pass our medical and pass our medical well. You know, so often we separate into kind of boxes our lives. The spiritual's here, the emotional's here, the mental's here, and the physical's here. But actually our life is more like a chain. Everything is linked. And then when there is a weak link in the chain, the rest of the chain can't function fully. So when our physical bodies are weaker than what we need them to be in a strong place. When they're weak, they actually cause the whole chain to break down. And when we are not strong or healthy, should I say, when we're not healthy, we actually can't give full expression to the Holy Spirit of God. Because our physical is the expression of God. When I preach, it's the expression of God. When you serve in the coffee shop or in the car park, our physical expresses God. And if our physical is not well, we can never express God fully in this world. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Now, the strictest context of the scripture is speaking about our sexual behavior, but the theme of the overall scripture tells us that our body does not belong to us, but that actually with our body, we need to glorify God. With our body, we need to be healthy to express God to a world that needs to see God. You know, I love what Ann Wilson Scaife said. She says, good health is not something we can buy. However, it can be an extremely valuable savings account. So I ask you tonight, if your body, your health was a savings account, how much trouble would you be in? Most people are like, oh man, I'm in debt. I actually owe the bank some of that. If our bodies, if we see it as a savings account, it'll give us a different perspective. Because we realize that our body needs to be healthy. So I want to speak to you very simply, and the title tonight is this: Finding the Wealth in Your Health. Finding the wealth in your health. Too often we think money is wealth. How many homes I own is my wealth. How many cars I have is my wealth. No, your body is your wealth. Because out of that you can function and do what you need to do. So two truths before we get into some of the points this evening. The first truth is this: when we take care of our body takes care of us. When we take care of our body takes care of us. We need to remember tonight that when we look after this, this looks after us. You know, I say this cautiously, and if you're a doctor in the room, understand what I'm saying here. Most medicine, not all, because we need some medicine, because medicine helps us. But most medicine, what it actually does is it merely masks an issue. It doesn't take away an issue. So you take a Panado or a Grampata, it just masks an issue. It doesn't take it away. And so what we need to understand is that actually our bodies were designed by God to take care of us, but so often we don't take care of our bodies. We need to look after our body. You know, the Daniel fast is so named because of Daniel. Daniel was a man who actually rejected the diet that he was presented, and he offered a whole new diet, and actually people could see how healthy he was. Look what it says in Daniel 1, verse 11. Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. Notice that it just took 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. You see, church, when you take care of you, you take care of you. Look after your body and your body will look after you. For those of you that remember while I was down here and I still own it, we had a Kia Rio. That Kia Rio is currently on 221,000 kilometers. So it's gone far. But this car we're keeping, it's paid off obviously, and we're looking after that car, so that car is going to keep going. In fact, it had a service recently, and the mechanic said to us, if you ever sell this car, come to me first. Because this car is so taken care of, I will actually buy this car for you because it's still going to go for a while. You see, our bodies are much like our cars. If you regularly service, you look after it, you take care, there's no need to actually get rid of it. Because you can actually keep going and keep going and keep going. And I believe, just like Pastor Dean said, there's a lot of people who are not getting the mileage out of their bodies that God wants them to get. This car, we're going to keep going, trusting God for it to 300,000 kilometers. We'll keep going on it because it's running well. You see, often people, just like Pastor Dean said, pass on before their time. You know, I think sometimes we kind of lean to the obvious answer. We say, well, it was someone's time. I think God wanted. But I want to say this, and Pastor Dean can gladly correct me theologically. But sometimes it's not someone's time. Because sometimes we so don't take care of ourselves that God's going, I've still got 10 years, I've still got 15, I still wanted you to do something, but you're not taking care of your vehicle, the vehicle which carries God into the world. When we begin to see our bodies like a vehicle that carries the Holy Spirit into a world that needs to know God, we start to service it, we start to look after it, we start to take care of it. So when last did you service your vehicle? You know, every time we go to NGen or what have you, NGen for the e-bucks, we go to NGen, guess what? You have to refuel. Please check my oil. Please check my tires. Please check the water. You know, that's what we should be doing with our bodies. We regularly go, we check, we do this, we gym, whatever it may be. And it doesn't even have to be gym. I know, like my wife hates gym with a passion. But she loves different other things, so she goes and does those things. It doesn't have to be confined to gym, but what are we doing to look after our body? There's a proverb that says this, and forgive me, I can't say the first word. It's not exactly, you'll see it on the screen, it's not exactly readable. When diet is wrong, medicine is of no use. When diet is correct, medicine is of no need. Number two, you being helped this evening? The second truth we need to know, it's not your temple, it's God's temple. It's not your temple, it's God's temple. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. The reason why we often don't look after our bodies is because we think our bodies actually belong to us. When actually our bodies are on loan from God for a certain time period to fulfill His purpose. And so our bodies are the temple of God. And this can fall in two extremes. Some people don't take care of their body at all. And then other people, it becomes their very temple that they worship. We have to find the middle ground. We can't not take care of our body at all because it's actually the temple of the Holy Spirit. But we can't be so into everything with our body that actually we glorify it as our temple. If you've ever watched some people on Instagram, or maybe you started unfollowing them because of this, and it's the, you know all about their body because it's the every, and it's look at this, and it's look at that, and it's that. That's the other end of the extreme. You see, the temple is actually God's temple. And when we see our bodies as God's temple, then we begin to serve it well so that we can serve other people and glorify God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So I want to ask you today, are you glorifying God with your body? Are you looking after your body, not for our own sake necessarily, but for the purpose of God? When we begin to realize that, God, I'm looking after my body because it's for your purpose, then we begin to change everything and the perspective that we see. So what we're going to look at is we're going to look at a couple of points tonight on how to build a healthy body. You ready? Yes. Number one, change your perception of your body. Change your perception of your body. In order to change anything in life, you have to change your perception of it. In order to restore your marriage, you have to change your perception of your marriage. In order to change careers, to change your job environment, anything like that, you have to change your perception of it. Exactly the same with our bodies. We have to change how we see our bodies. Whether we see it on the, oh man, it's just useless, and why did I get given this body, and or whether we see it on the, look at me, I am God's gift to woman. Can you see how amazing I am? Either way, the perception has to change. We have to look at our bodies and go, you know what? This is the body I've been given. I'm going to take care of it the best way I know how. See, even as we preach as a church, we are a church of excellence. So too, our bodies need to be a place of excellence. Excellence is not perfection. I will never look like Grant. I will try my hardest. I will eat. I will do anything. But I won't look like him because he's got his body and I've got mine. But I can look after my body to the best of my ability. I can serve my body with excellence so that I can serve God with excellence. For some of you, you need to change your perception of your body. It's an identity thing where you're looking, oh, why don't I have hair like them? Why don't I have abs like them? Why don't I have... No, change your perception. Go into the mirror and say, you know, this is what I've got, and I'm going to do this to the best of my ability. I'm going to eat as well as I can. And when you change your perception, you change your life. You see, because Ephesians reminds us in 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. You are the masterpiece of God. So change your perception and you'll change your body. Number two, start with simple changes. Start with simple changes. Studies show that 90% of people never achieve their goals because they want to have a complete turnaround, and then after a few days they give up because they fell short somewhere. Maybe you've been like that before, where you've gone, you know what? Thank you, Pastor Chase, for that message. When I get out now, tomorrow morning before serving at 6 a.m., I'm going to be in the Virgin Active. And then I'm going to be starting to drink this and do that, and I'm going to buy these supplements, and then I'm going to start to, you begin to realize that that very quickly changes. Because you just fall short, you just have that one chocolate, you have that one soda, you have that, and then your mind goes, I can't do it. We've got to make the simple changes. If tonight I had 1 million rand cash, tax-free, cash, you can have it. Or I'll give you 1 cent, but I'll double it every day for 30 days. 95% of you would say, duh, I'll take 1 million rand cash and I'll walk out. Obvious. Had you chosen the 1 million rand cash, you would have made the wrong choice. Because 1 cent that is compounded over 30 days, and I'm going to give you the exact figure in a moment, but before I actually want to tell you what happens after a few days, because this is what you start to perceive. After day 5, you would only have 16 cents. And you'd say to me, Chase, you are off your rocker. Why have you made me choose the 1 cent? Clearly, this is not going to amount to much. If you look after 10 days, you will realize that it's 5 rand and 12 cents. You made the wrong decision, didn't you? After 15 days, you will realize that it's still only 163 rand and 84 cents. But had you chosen the 1 cent and carried on through to 30 days, doubling every day, you will end up with 10,737,417 rand. Sorry, 31 days, not 30, 31 days. But most of us will say, give me the million rand straight away. But had you just taken the 1 cent for 31 days, you would have been 10 times richer. See, it's the 1 cent decision you make every day. What does a 1 cent? We all want to make the 10 million rand decision. I'm going to change every. No, just make a 1 cent decision. Just put one sugar less in your coffee. Just have two chocolates less. Just do 10 minutes of exercise this week. Just do 10 minutes. That's all. Not even 5 days in a row. Just do 10 minutes. You watch. If you just make 1 cent decisions every day, you'll be coming, I guarantee you'll come back in a year's time and you go, thank you. My whole, I don't have sugar anymore. I go to gym 4 times a week. I'm healthy. I'm strong. The doctor says he doesn't need to see me anymore. I'm off my medication. I'm doing well. I get to play with my kids now. But you just made a 1 cent decision. So what is your 1 cent decision today? Just 10 minutes. And then 10 minutes. And then 10 minutes can change your life. A 1 cent decision. Andy Stanley says this, we don't drift in good directions, we discipline and prioritize ourselves there. So we don't just drift there, we go, today I make a 1 cent decision. Tomorrow I make a 1 cent decision. Next week I make a 1 cent decision. And after 31 days or 31, whatever it may be, a year, whatever it may be, you'll be thankful. And then someone comes up to you and says, wow, look how good you're just so gifted with genes. Like, are you kidding me? I made a 1 cent decision every single day to get to this point. 1 cent. So what are you going to wake up to do tomorrow to change the health of your body? Maybe you're just not that milkshake today. Sorry, coffee shop. And burgers afterwards. 1 cent decision. Number three, have vision and set a goal. Have vision and set a goal. It sounds so simple, yet so often we have an idea of what we want to do, but we never lay it out. Yeah. I'd like to look like Frank Medrano one day. And 2 years, we're wishing the same thing. I'd like to look like Frank Medrano one day. And then 2 years, I'd like to look like, no, you got to put a vision in place. And you got to set a goal. Yeah. The book of Habakkuk says in 2:2, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. You know, we've been doing this quite regularly, and last year we did it again. We call our 1,100 challenge, where 15 of us put 1,000 rand in, and we got 3 months to change our way of eating and our gym and so forth. And we got goals that we set. And so there's 15,000 rand in the pot for the winner who gets their goal. That is a very big motivation. It was very easy to say no to things when there was a goal in mind. It was very easy to wake up early in the morning and go to gym when that goal was in mind. And I had the idea of, I'm going to go from this body fat to that body fat. I need to get to that weight. There's 15,000 rand. And we used to put like chocolates on each other's desks and sodas to try and tempt us. But it was like, nope. Because there was a goal in mind. We have to set the goal of what we want to see. So what do you want to see? And if I may go back to the simple changes, don't today go, you know what, I'm 109 kilograms. In 31 days, I want to be 74 at 6% body fat. That's not going to happen. But if you make the simple changes and go, next year, I want to look like this. And then I want to do this. And then I guarantee you can completely change. But you have to have a vision. You know, the Bible teaches us in Proverbs 17, verse 22, because this is what I've discovered when everything is linked. It says, a cheerful heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit makes one sick. In other words, the reverse is also true. When we have a healthy, strong body, we feel better. We smile more. How many of you know, even something simple, when you get your teeth whitened or you get your teeth done at the dentist, you smile a whole lot more. See, it changes the inside when we can also effectively change the outside. For some of you today, you can actually change your emotions by actually sorting your body out. Zig Ziglar says this, a goal properly set is halfway reached. If we change our perception, go, hang on, I'm halfway to my goal when I just put the goal down and I write it down, maybe that'll change our perception. Number four, you being helped today? This is the most simple point of all time. Drink more water, eat less sugar, have more rest, but don't become lazy. Drink more water, eat less sugar, have more rest, but don't become lazy. It sounds so simple, yet why don't we do them? Because it's too simple. I think Christians have a tendency to overcomplicate things, when actually, it's not that complicated. We like to find the deep stuff. I don't know, we've had some people in church before, not necessarily here, but around church life who said, you know, we chat to them, oh, you here first time or second time, what have you, nice to have you here. You know what, have you come from another church? Yeah, is that another church? But man, I'm looking for the deep stuff of the word. I'm looking for the, or some people leave our church and go to another church and it's not deep enough. But how many of you know Jesus didn't teach deep things? Jesus just taught parables. He was just like, there's a man, there's another man, this happened, that happened. Everyone went, oh, I get it. There's a man who built his house and he built on a good foundation and it didn't fall down. Another guy built on a messed up foundation, it fell down. It's like, it's that simple. And then Christians go, but what does it mean when no, it's just that simple. In the same way, our entire body can change with drinking more water, eating less sugar, having more rest, but not becoming lazy. Do you know you can change your body just by initiating those few things? You know, our mental and spiritual health can change with these things. You can wake up less tired. You can have more energy during the day. Many people get home and they're tired and they blame it on work, but it's not necessarily work. It's the capacity that we have to handle the work, which means it's our physical health that we need to work on. Water. Our body as an adult is made up of 60% of water, but yet we hardly drink water. Imagine half of your being is water. Surely we should be refueling ourselves with the very substance that we're made of. But we go, oh, it's too simple. I don't like water. Your brain is 75% water. So if you're struggling to think and focus, it could be something simple as water. Maybe I need to go. Maybe I need to sort out. Maybe the devil's trying to get me and I just need to focus. No, it's not the devil. It's water. You need to drink water. That's all you need to do. Just take 8 glasses of water, drink it, and suddenly you'll change. God is a miracle working God. Yes, he is. But actually, he just said, drink the water. And you can change your thinking. But it's too simple, isn't it? It's just too simple. 83% of our lungs are water. You know, our bodies become fatigued tired, worn out, just because we don't drink enough water. I want to encourage you today, and sorry again, coffee shop, but your sodas might decrease in sales this weekend, but your waters will increase. What about sugar? You know, Grant said it, so I won't go into too much detail, but sugar is one of the biggest killers in the world. Just simple processed white sugar. If we just start saying, and I know what some of you are going to say, man, it's so hard to put that whole chocolate and just cut out sugar, but then just to make the 1 cent decision. Today, just go, I'll have two less sugars. And that's how I got off sugar. You know, Pastor Devin once decided to go cold turkey on sugar. And if you've ever seen someone go cold turkey on sugar, seriously, studies show that sugar has the same effect as cocaine on your brain. It develops neural pathways through your brain, and so when you lack it, you start to. And Pastor Devin would get severe headaches and would literally be sweating because of sugar. But why don't we treat sugar like a drug? It's actually a drug that can cause great damage to our lives. So if we just put, now we're not up here being legalistic, saying you put down that Lindt chocolate or bind you and the devil going to get you, and not legalistic at all. But if just a little bit less. Some of you think you cannot live without sugar. I guarantee if you just take one less a day, you can. And you'll realize that, hang on, that fruit's good. And when you start doing less of it, you go back to like a cup of coffee with two sugars and you're like, oh, that is sweet. Just a little bit of sugar. And you know what people do? At the back of the packs where it says sugar and all that, we go, no, don't show me that. Don't tell me that. I'd rather not know. But can I say this? Just because you don't know, it doesn't mean it's not in effect. It's like saying, don't tell me that stuff about the Bible, about the sin. I'd rather not know. It's still there. It's still going to apply. So we should rather just know and change our lives. What about rest? Even something simple like we undervalue the power of rest. The Bible, God gives us a day of rest. He tells us in Deuteronomy, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You see, notice that God doesn't say 3 days you shall work and 4 days do nothing. So he's not advocating laziness. But he's saying, I've designed your body to recoup. So you need to have a day that you do that. Can I encourage the workaholics here today? Your work, if you keep going, it's going to kill you. Literally. Take a day's rest. Spend time with family. Get into the Word of God. Because that rest, that water, and the lack of sugar can change your life. Number five, deal with the inside as much as you deal with the outside. Deal with the inside as much as you deal with the outside. Has someone ever told you the unfortunate thing of, like maybe you're seeing them for the first time in a while, and they look at you and they go, man, are you okay? It looks like you've been dragged through hell and back. Are you and you're like offended? Like, would you say that? Why? Because the outside always projects what's happening on the inside. Think about when you're stressed, your body reacts. When I'm on a plane and there's turbulence and it's sweating, it's like you start, your whole body tenses, and you'll know that your body does what the inside, what's going on in the inside. So we have to first deal with the inside so we can also help the outside. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. So God knows, he says, if you don't deal with this, this is also going to have a problem. If you don't deal with the inside, if you don't deal with the anger, if you don't deal with the jealousy, if you don't deal with the rage, if you don't deal with the frustration, it's going to show on your body. You're going to fall sick. You're going to struggle. You're going to feel tired. So we first have to go, hang on, I let this stuff go. You can change your life by water, sugar, rest, and letting stuff go. Some of you, your diet is to get rid of stuff in here. It's just to let stuff go and allow God to do something in your life. Unforgiveness. If you've got unforgiveness today, can I encourage you to let it go? Can I encourage you to go, you know what? This is actually not just, this is not affecting them. This is affecting me. This is causing me to be unhealthy. Number six, the last one. You must be willing to take responsibility. You must be willing to take responsibility. Yeah, but I live at home and my parents, they give me this food. Or, yeah, but I work so late, so it's just easy to go past McDonald's and get that same Super 5, number 5. It just works. No, we got to We got to take responsibility. We got to, hang on, no one's going to change my health but me. And I want to encourage you on this today. I'm very cautious when I say this. You can pray as much as you want to God, but there is a level of responsibility where God goes, I'm not going to help you there. You got to help yourself there. You've got to pick up the weight. You've got to start doing that. Because that's our responsibility to apply that. I love this anonymous quote. It says, your body will be around a lot longer than the expensive handbag. So invest in yourself. Invest in yourself. Spend time on yourself in the right way because you can change your life. But we need to take responsibility. We need to make the choice to go, hang on, today I'm gonna do something different. You see, praying helps us. Worship helps us. Giving helps us. But responsibility helps us more. I really believe that. When we take the responsibility, God goes, I'll bless that now. I will bless when you take charge of your life, and I will honor the choice that you're making. Instead, we want to pray bad health away. We want to, but God says, no, take the choice. Make the choice. Take responsibility. You know, in the book of Genesis, as we come to a close here, God gave Adam and Eve the land. And this is what he says. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. So God gives Adam and Eve the land with life in it and then says, take responsibility for it. And don't blame me when things are not happening to the very thing I gave you control over. The exact same thing is with our bodies. God says, I'm going to give you your body. I'm going to give life into it. Now take care of it. And don't blame me when you've had 95 McDonald's meals and you're not healthy. No, take care of the land that I have given you. Take responsibility of the land I'm giving you. And when you take care of it, it will take care of you. So today, as we come to a close, I want to ask you this. What changes will you make? What one-cent decision are you going to walk out here and go, today, I'm doing this? Because I've been praying and listen, I'm not saying don't pray for healing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that at all. We need to pray for healing because our God is a healer. But in many instances, God is saying to us, no, take responsibility. Because when we make the choice to take responsibility, God then will turn our lives around. You know, Jesus took responsibility for our sin. He didn't wave it away. Didn't hope it wouldn't, it's not there, I hope it does. No, Jesus took responsibility for the sin of the world on his shoulders. And because he took the responsibility that actually was not his, he changed our destiny. It's the one area in life where actually we need to rely purely, solely, 100%, not on our works, not on anything we do, but on God. Because God is the one who's brought salvation to the world through his son's sacrifice on the cross. The Bible says in 1 Peter, he himself bore our sin. In other words, made the choice in his body on the cross. You know, Jesus did something in his body so that we can live out our purpose in ours today. So that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. You know, the strictest context of that scripture is, by his wounds, you are spiritually healed. God has healed us by paying the price for our sin. The responsibility that we have tonight is one thing, to choose him and make him Savior.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.